Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
A sea of green this morning as Asia-Pacific markets rally on the back of some overnight gains on Wall Street. Tokyo is up more than 1%. Sydney and Seoul are trading higher as well. Joining me now, we're going to break down all the market action for you this morning. Good Tuesday morning, Ryan Huang.
Good Tuesday and a busy Tuesday.
Indeed. Let's start this morning with a story that may not be making headlines elsewhere, but is certainly important here in Singapore. For the first time in decades, Singapore has added to its gold pile. According to figures released by the Monetary Authority of Singapore, Singapore purchased more than 26 tons of gold earlier this year, increasing the country's gold holdings by about 20%. The purchases were made under the radar and are only coming to light now with the release of a publication on international reserves and foreign currency liquidity. Ryan, how much is the gold worth, and do we know why Singapore has bought so much of it this year when it hasn't made any similar purchases since at least the year 2000?
Okay, we don't have a lot of details to go on. So what we know is that at today's price, what it bought would be worth around $1.5 billion. And of course, you might not get all the details because this is how the central bank typically works. They don't want to draw too much attention to the work they do. And this is also in line with how they don't want any foreign speculators to be able to second guess what the MAS is doing, and also not draw attention to the amount of gold in its reserves, as this might encourage foreign exchange markets to view the purchase as a move to strengthen the reserves position and possibly put upward pressure on the Singapore exchange rate. So that's going by a view from a precious metals analyst. So that is one of the theories that that is possible why we don't hear too much about these reasons.
Yeah, Ronan Manley's view from Bullion Star. Now, if we look at the average price of gold when the purchases were made in May and June, does it look like the investment, Ryan, has so far borne fruit?
Okay, let me look at my charts. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the lines, it's been actually going up and down, but pretty much range bound. And if you look at the lowest price in that May to June period, it was around $1,750 and as high as $1,900. And where we are right now, $1,780. So in a way, it kind of depends on when you bought it, right? Maybe if you bought $1,750, mm-hmm. Now it's $1,780, you would have made quite a bit of money now. But if you bought it at a peak of where it was, $1,900, then maybe not so much. But it is still early days. And of course, if the central bank, they hold it on for a long time. So they probably will be keeping this for quite a bit.
All right. So do you think that investors should take a cue from this government buy and buy gold as well?
Okay, so it's quite tricky because with these reports and data, they are retrospective. So it talks about what they did many months ago. Mm. So if you try to follow those kind of patterns, it might not always work because the landscape and situation right now is not the same as before. So that's one thing to take into account. But there are some factors or arguments you can kind of use as your information points. Like, are the trends there? Is this a good inflation hedge right now? Is there a reason to go into this safe haven asset? So those questions are good to ask. And with these reports, it does help to paint the outlook for maybe next year, what allocation you might be thinking of when you look at your money.
Right. Let's turn from gold to a high-profile corporate story. It's one that was announced via a traditional corporate statement, not on a social media platform. No tweets, as one might expect for this company. Twitter's co-founder and CEO, Jack Dorsey, is resigning again. It's the second time he's quit the company. He co-founded in 2006. He's going to remain on Twitter's board for the moment, but he is expected to completely step away from the social media giant's operations when his term on the board expires next year. So Ryan, why is Jack Dorsey stepping down?
Yeah, I have to say I was a bit disappointed because Jack Dorsey did not tweet his resignation. So, but he did actually retweet a snapshot of his letter he sent to his team. So that came through about 9 hours ago, but otherwise it came through other platforms first. So what we have is Jack Dorsey stepping down. He's been the face for Twitter for so long, but he's not just the face of Twitter. He's also the CEO of Square, which is a payments platform that is going big time into things like Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And that is actually where his other passions have been recently. And his stepping down, in a way, is going to give him more time to go into such ventures. So the reason why we are seeing Jack Dorsey step down, he did say in a statement, it is time for the company to move on without the founder. And I think that is a healthy way to think about things. Can this company survive without the founder, the personalities? It does help to set the succession plans and the fundamentals of the company in place. So that, I think, is a great way to run the operations.
Now, Dorsey is being succeeded by Twitter's chief tech officer, Parag Agrawal. And analysts say Agrawal is a safe choice for the job. What do we know about him?
Okay, so he's been at Twitter for over 10 years, and he's been the CTO since 2017. So what he's been busy with is AI, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. So leading projects to make tweets more relevant to what you read. So in a way, trying to figure you out before you even know yourself. So that is what he's been busy with. And with that in mind, and how Twitter sees itself in future, Jack Dorsey thinks he is the right guy to bring Twitter to the next level. And he also believes Parag Agrawal is someone who knows the company very well. So that is where Twitter is headed, AI, machine learning.
AI, and I suppose Jack Dorsey, big fan of Bitcoin, he says, so Twitter's loss might be cryptocurrency's gain. Analysts have been pretty positive in their statements about Twitter's leadership transition. Investors, not so sure. Twitter shares fell nearly 3% overnight during a session in which the rest of the market was rallying. Twitter shares are now down nearly 30% over the past 3 months. So, Ryan, do we have a sense of what Jack Dorsey could do next?
Yeah, it's a very good point that Twitter shares dropped after the announcement, 2.7%. And this is against the grain when it comes to the tech stocks overnight. Tesla was up over 5%. Apple and Microsoft up over 2%. And it's also maybe a bit knee-jerk because Jack Dorsey has been hinting about moving away for quite some time. So we'll see if this is going to be sustained. In terms of what he's going to do next, his other hat, Square, is going to keep him busy. He's been talking, or rather his company has been talking about going into the Bitcoin mining business. And earlier this month, Square has released a white paper detailing plans to launch TBDEX, which is a decentralized exchange for buying and selling cryptocurrency. So I'm sure you will not be missing Jack Dorsey from the Twitterverse. He is still going to be quite busy promoting his views on crypto.
Let's now turn to the macro picture and Omicron, the newest variant of COVID-19 that rattled markets on Friday. Investors seemed a bit more steady now. Perhaps most of them have returned from that long Thanksgiving weekend. The Nasdaq climbed nearly 2% overnight. The Dow and S&P 500 finished higher as well. Still, Omicron adds a new element of risk to the global economy and is yet another variable that central bankers need to assess when deciding when and how much to tighten credit. So, Ryan, how much of a headache do you think this is going to be for the central bankers like U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell?
Yeah, it's a tremendous headache because you now have another spanner in the works. It's been back and forth for quite some time. You know, people are just getting ready to reopen the economy, and now you have the prospect of things going back one step. And with the central bank policymakers, they had to figure out how much of an impact this might mean for the economy recovering, because they've been thinking about tapering, raising rates. And if the economy is not in a position to do that, then they can't do that. So it does, in a way, if it gets worse, will push back the timeline possibly of those rate hikes or those tapering the pace of tapering. So that does complicate it. But for now, it is actually still quite early to figure out what exactly is the impact, because there is just so much we don't know about the Omicron strain yet. But it is comforting to see that some composure is returning to markets. We are seeing Wall Street rebounding partially. And of course, in Asia, that is also seeing some markets in the green right now.
What are analysts saying so far about how Omicron may affect Singapore's economy?
Okay, so it is one of the stories in the Business Times. So if you want the details, you can check it out there. To give you a good summary, we have many of them saying it will not pose a big risk to Singapore's growth. It will still be on track. And for this year, at least, we've already had three quarters or so of growth. And for the fourth quarter, it's not likely to change it too much unless there is something spectacularly bad that happens. And if you look at what Selina Ling from OCBC is saying, it's still a bit premature to start shading down next year's growth projections, because it could just swing both sides or any side or not swing at all. So it is still quite early days. And the growth projections of around 3-5% are still on track. That is what the MTI has been forecasting. If you look at the comments coming through from ANZ, the researcher Kungo says there is sufficient leeway with MTI's forecast range to accommodate some of the possible disruptions if they were to occur. So by and large, it's going to be on track.
Likely to be a stress test of how not only Singapore but other ASEAN economies treat COVID as endemic, according to Citi analysts. I think all eyes will be on how this disrupts border reopening, ongoing border reopening efforts scuttled for South Africa. Over the weekend, Singapore halted visitor arrivals from 7 countries in Africa and postponed the upcoming launch of several VTLs as well, with Saudi Arabia, UAE and Qatar, for example. U.S. President Joe Biden says he is directing U.S. regulators to fast-track the approval of COVID vaccines targeting Omicron. Shares of Moderna, meanwhile, jumped nearly 12% overnight after the company said it could have an Omicron vaccine ready by early 2022. Next up this morning, let's turn to a U.S. company that is planning to raise nearly $1 billion U.S. dollars in a new REIT listing here in Singapore. The New York listed company is the Digital Realty Trust, and its data center spin-off Digital Core REIT will begin trading on the Singapore Exchange on Monday. So Ryan, $1 billion U.S. dollars, a lot of money to raise, particularly on the local market here. So what do we know about the Digital Core REIT?
Okay, so this is a stabilized and diversified portfolio of what they call mission critical data centers globally. And it has around 10 freehold data centers in mainly the US and Canada. And most of the properties are fully leased to blue chip clients. And you are looking at annual cash rental rate escalations of between 1% and 3%. And you have a gearing ratio of around 27%. That is below listed peers in Singapore, which are typically around 40%. And looking at the IPO indicative price at 88 US cents, the yield is expected to come in at around 4.75% for the year ended 31st December 2022. So that is the picture of what Digital Core REIT is.
Digital Core REIT is the second real estate investment trust to go public here in recent weeks. Now, is this a sign, Ryan, that the REIT sector and the Singapore market overall are picking up?
It definitely looks that way. It does seem a bit like deja vu that we just talked about another REIT recently, and now here we have another one, and the other one was the first one in nearly 10 months of the year, and now we have the same number of REITs listed last year as this year. So it does give that sense that maybe REITs are coming back, and you have these REITs banking on the digital economy. And we've heard about how there's a lack of space in the e-commerce industry, where you have so many people just going there. The goods have nowhere to be parked. So it is a big play here. And if you look at where we are in terms of risk appetite, it does seem like with markets going to new record highs, money is still trying to find a home to go into. So REITs are looking interesting right now.
Time for your spin through corporate news. This is a game of up or down. Ryan, can we start? Are you ready?
Let's go.
All right, Ryan, let's start with no signboard.
Okay, no signboard. I'm afraid there's not a lot of good news there. And I am going with down, and that's because they are still making losses.
Yeah.
$6.4 million for the year ended September 30th. But the bright side, I guess, is the loss is not as bad as a year before that, which is at $9.8 million.
So narrowing its full year loss to $6.4 million. I'm going to go with down for no signboard as well. The Chinese investment group Kaisa.
Okay, this is going to be a tough one. I would go with down, but it will really be dependent on what happens later on Thursday, because it is set to offer investors the chance to exchange the current bonds, which expire on December the 7th, for new ones, which will expire 1.5 years later, in effect extending them because of its cash flow pressures. So that offer will expire at 4 p.m. London time. So that's going to be in focus, because if not enough bondholders take it up, then it has a high risk of default, and we know how much that could possibly send more jitters into the property sector in China, which already is facing many other problems.
Yeah, down for me. I mean, Kaisa is the next big Chinese worry for the markets with that attempt to roll over a large sum of debt. And as you rightly pointed out, if bondholders don't agree, it's definitely going to be a down, both for Kaisa and potentially broader markets as well. Let's look at MicroStrategy, Ryan.
Okay, MicroStrategy. You might be familiar with its name because it's one of the companies that's been trying to write crypto's fortunes. So it's led by billionaire cryptocurrency bull Michael Saylor. So he's been talking up crypto often, and part of his company's monies goes into investing in things like Bitcoin. So he, during the crypto sell-off, decided to buy more crypto. No surprises. So $414 million on that buy on a dip movement.
Yeah, MicroStrategy has positioned itself as a proxy for Bitcoin, and its Bitcoin investments are definitely paying off. The company's Bitcoin holdings have doubled in value, so up for me when it comes to MicroStrategy. And finally, let's look at Macau's casino stocks.
Okay, that is a clear down, because we've got stocks of all the casino operators in Macau under pressure. And just to give you a sense of how much pressure, we've got the likes of MGM China Holdings down 10%, Wynn Macau down 7.8%, and Sands China and Galaxy Entertainment both down more than 5% on Monday. And it's all around a China crackdown. And this is around Sun City Group Holdings CEO Alvin Chow. He was detained. And this is the first time such a high-profile figure in the gaming industry has been targeted. And it's around him actually confessing to establishing overseas gaming platforms and carrying out illegal virtual betting activities. So this is, to give you a bit of an idea how it works, is they set up chat rooms, virtual chat rooms, and you don't have to be physically at a casino. You can bet online. So it's like almost, in a way, a metaverse of casinos. Oh. You're doing your bets going through a camera. So it kind of bypasses all the regulations that are in place that are meant to be there. So China doesn't like that idea, and it has been trying to clamp down on it, as well as for the reasons of that being a channel for currency outflows and illegal money laundering. So that is the pressure that will continue to unfold on casino stocks in Macau.
Cross-border gambling meets digitization. Definitely down for Macau's casino stocks. 11 people have been arrested in Macau on charges of money laundering and cross-border gambling. Shares of MGM China plunged 10% yesterday. Wynn Macau and Sands China, they've been hit as well. Let's turn to Singapore now. We are 26 minutes into the local trading day. The Straits Times Index fell nearly 1.5% yesterday amid jitters over Omicron. Singapore Airlines and DBS were among the hardest hit. Ryan, how's the STI trading this morning, now that Wall Street seems to have found a firmer footing overnight?
Good news for you. It is slightly in the green. It's up by 0.1%, 3,122. So taking a quick snapshot of the STI, a bit more green than red right now. And right at the top, Yang Zhejiang Shipbuilding up 2.3% at $1.33. There is some corporate news around Yang Zhejiang. It is making headlines for proposing a spin-off and listing of the group's investment segment. So that could be also driving some of the investment flows. Fraser's Logistics and Commercial Trust is up by 1.4%. And taking a quick look at where we are for SIA, it is recovering from yesterday's sell-off. It's now up by 0.6% at 4.94. Same for SATS, is in the green by 0.5% at 3.92. And taking a quick look at the bottom, we've got Mapletree Logistics Trust is down by 1%. Yesterday's top gainer, Hong Kong Land, is now down by 0.5% at 5.53. Okay, and if you look at some of the stocks worth watching, I'm just looking at Daiwa House Logistics Trust, which is the first REIT to list this year, is now trading down by 0.6% at 80 cents. So that is the first REIT, and of course, we just talked about the second REIT to list. That is interesting to watch the data center play. So that'll be the stocks to watch for today.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ryan. Coming up, you heard us talk about Joe Biden directing U.S. regulators to fast-track the approval of COVID vaccines targeting Omicron, and shares of Moderna jumping on that positive news, companies saying it could have an Omicron vaccine by early 2022. So, you know, even as we try to make sense of how bad Omicron could be, does its arrival lift healthcare stocks? Does it hobble shares of travel companies? All that discussed in half an hour with me right here on Your Money. I'm Michelle Martin.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.